This is Totally Heroes. This is our theme song. Yeah, we're Totally Heroes. Well, you've got Dave, and he's the host. We're sorry about that. But hey, there's always Shank, and he's kind of cool. He's like a really techie guy. And then there's Brian. Well, he is the Jason Statham of Lord of the Rings Online. Really doesn't make any sense. But we talk about video games on Totally, Totally Heroes. Well, this song really stinks, but the show is awesome. Listen to Totally, Totally Heroes by QGN. That stands for Quest Gaming Network. Yeah, Totally, Totally Heroes. Gonna start right now. We promise it's better than this theme song. Take it away, Dave. Take it away, Shank. Brian, join in too. Totally Heroes, going live right now.
Welcome to Totally Heroes, the QGN Roundtable discussion, where we talk about what's going on in the gaming industry. My name is Dave D-Enforce Adams, and with me tonight is the one and only Brian Silent Fury 007.
What's going on? How's everybody doing tonight? Good to be here.
Good to have you here. And occasionally good to have Shank Tank.
What's up, peoples? Well, we got a pretty packed show for you guys today. It's all going to be E3 predictions. Going to talk about Nintendo, Sony, Microsoft, as well as a slew of some unannounced titles from some studios and what we got to say on that. But before we get into any of that stuff, hey Brian.
Hey, Shank, what's going on?
I will inherit a small plot of land.
You literally muted up after that.
Sorry, Shank, I didn't quite catch that.
What the hell?
I assume that is my cue to tell you about... Actually, I lost my place. That's not my cue, is it?
Yes, it's your cue.
It is my cue. You can just delete this out of the show, I hope, because I have completely lost my notes. Okay, I found my place. All right. Hey, Shank, thanks for that great introduction. Let's talk about audibletrial.com/QuestGamingNetwork, where you can read about amazing things like... God, I'm sorry, Shank, you're killing me here. You can read about some, you can find some great books. If you don't like reading, you can listen to them. That's what I do. I don't read because reading is for losers. Well, tell that to your teacher, kids. What? It's not? Oh. Well, if you don't like to read like me, you can listen to great books like Console Wars. It's a book by a guy named Blake J. Harris. Tells you all about the NES and Sega console battle they had back in the day. All the inner workings, what was going on behind the scenes. There's lots of great information there. I'm listening to it right now. It really is cool. There's some great quotes and stats. I was going to pull a couple out here just to tell you a couple. What I found is interesting that I've learned in this book is that after the first year of its existence, the NES was in one-third of American households. One-third. I don't think Microsoft or Sony can even dream of being able to say that. That's just amazing. And if you want to hear more about this amazing story, the NES versus the Sega Genesis, check out this book, Console Wars by Blake J. Harris, on audibletrial.com/QuestGamingNetwork. And when you go there, you'll get a free 30-day trial. You can check out this book for free, which is actually what I did. And it's well worth it. It's free. It's great. So audibletrial.com/QuestGamingNetwork. Back to you guys, because I have totally butchered that.
Yeah, slightly. All right. Thank you, Brian, for that wonderful, wonderful Audible ad. Now,
it's my best one yet.
No. All right. first things first, we have a big show to discuss tonight, majorly because E3 is right around the corner, and it's time to break into it and kick its butt. Brian, you did great. I'm messing with you. Okay.
Thanks.
Shank,
Yo.
I am making you the master of ceremonies for the QGN's pre-3. Officially. The E3 pre-show for QGN. We're calling it the pre-3.
Excellent. Okay, so first of all, you have the big three. You have Nintendo, Sony, and Microsoft. Two of these folks have press conferences on the 9th, which is the day, actually, I guess they kickstart the whole E3 thing. And Nintendo, curiously, like last year, does not have a presser. Instead, they are hosting what they're calling a digital event, as well as a Smash Bros. Tournament on June 10th. So this is Tuesday at 8:30 a.m. or 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Now, a few things to keep in mind, guys, because what I want to get is basically what do we think is going to happen in each one of these press conferences, or in Nintendo's case, live stream? And importantly, what are they going to have to do to convince us consumers that their platform is the best place to play? As well as, I'd like to get a bold prediction, as it were, from each of us for Nintendo, Sony, and Microsoft.
A bold prediction.
But first things first, here's my question to you guys. Let's start with this. What is Nintendo going to start their stream with? My guess is that they start off with an epic like montage of all their new IPs. So they're going to have like Donkey Kong out there, Mario Kart, and of course Smash Brothers, because they're going to have that tourney. And then they're going to start talking about like, oh man, this is the year of Nintendo or something like that. Because remember, last year was the year of Luigi. Yeah. This year, I think they're going to just really, really focus on their core IPs and just try to push that. And away from some of the other things we were discussing in the past episode, We Save Nintendo. But what do you guys think that they're going to come out of the gate with and start with their live show?
Jeez, boy, I mean, you're describing a company that sounds like they have it together, and I'm not entirely sure Nintendo does. I mean, until they prove us otherwise, I can't imagine it's going to be quite as eloquent or amazing as you made it sound there. I don't know. I honestly didn't get to see last year's. I was in the car during this one. I missed it, and I just didn't get a chance to ever go back and watch it. So I don't really know how it began or what it looks like. So, I mean, in my mind, I think they will do is start off with a game. I think they'll show us one game. I'm assuming Smash Brothers, just because that's the one everybody knows about and it's what everybody wants to hear about. And I think that's a mistake. I think they need to start with something new. I don't know what though, but yeah, I think they'll come out with show us some Smash Bros. I think that's what we're going to see first, right out of the gate there.
I think there's two ways they can go with it. Shank described a montage of them straight jumping in on the IPs that they have coming out this year or just released, like Mario Kart 8, Super Smash Brothers coming out this next year. Them going through each one and being like, oh, this is balling. Oh, look at this. This is okay. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my God. I want that. Talking about the new Hyrule Warriors games, all the different core IPs. I think that would do great for them. I think Nintendo would benefit a lot from talking up their core IPs, as well talking about what games that they share with other consoles to try to draw in consumers to say, hey, I can still play my games I love, and I can play all the awesome Nintendo games from my past. That would win the day. But, and this is a big but, because this is Iwata's butt. No, it's not a big butt. He's kind of small.
Anyway. Wow.
I've seen too many Nintendo Directs not to expect a straight Apple, you know, white screen, you know, straight out of Steve Jobs, with Iwata walking up, bowing, and then talking up all of the stuff that happened over the previous year, giving a 15-minute spiel on how last year was the year of Luigi, and then a 2-minute spiel on what the next year is going to bring, and then going straight into Super Smash Brothers for the next hour and a half.
So perhaps my my thoughts on what their intro would be would just be was just completely optimistic and like
out yeah, of yours is like the best case scenario. I'm thinking of the worst case scenario, but honestly, from what I've come to expect from them, it's Iwata walking out, bowing awkwardly, which the dude owns the damn company. Why is he bowing to us? I get it, you know, he's trying to show respect and that's their thing, but like he's the big wig dude. And he comes out all alone and presents his thing. And then suddenly, you know, he looks to the side and bam, there's Reggie and his body's ready. And he wants to, you know, talk about some one crazy game that's going to make a lot of money. And then he runs off the screen being all crazy, touching people in their face, weird things. That guy scares me.
Reggie fees me.
He's, if you don't know, he's the
President of America.
Nintendo America?
Yep.
Not the president, but the operating COO or something like that. That dude's crazy. He's hilarious, though, if you ever get a chance. But you know that Reggie's going to show up.
Oh, yeah.
You know that Iwata's going to be there. They may even pull in Miyamoto.
Really?
They've been pulling in, like, the last few years, whenever they do a Nintendo presser, they've been pulling in their all-star cast. They're really big programmers and developers. They've been pulling them in for these kind of things. Last year, God, who'd they bring in? I can't even remember. Some big name. One of their old school developers. I think it was for E3. I may be mistaken, but I thought it was for E3. But they've been doing that. They've been getting the big name developers and recently touting this whole feeling of, we know how to make games because we made really good games 10, 15 years ago.
Right. Yeah, that's something they need to get away from. They need to say,
they
all right.
They need to get away from that.
Yeah, we were great. Now we need a little help.
Be Reggie, okay? I get it. The guy's crazy as hell, and you know that if you were stuck in an elevator with him, he'd end up touching you. But the guy is awesome, all right? They need to follow his footsteps in being just a little crazy and being excited about what projects they have right now, instead of trying to go the route of, you know, you owe us because you enjoyed us when you were a kid.
You know what? I think for each of these three companies, I think like I have a personal huge G for both Sony and Microsoft. I think, and for Sony, it's Jack Tretton, who is no longer there. For Microsoft, it's Phil Spencer. And for Nintendo, I think Reggie is the huge G of Nintendo.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know that Reggie is kept around just because he, like, is hilarious. Like, Iwata's, like, having a bad day. He'll call up Reggie and be like, I don't know what to do. And Reggie will be like, it's okay, dude. Let's go dance.
Mario Golf, bro.
Yeah. Let's go have fun. He's just like, he is the literal embodiment of a dog. In the best way possible. Like, really excited about everything.
Okay, so we got, all right, so we got what we think they're going to be starting off their stream with. A couple of things to keep in mind. And of course, you know, Dave mentioned Hyrule Warriors, which I need to be honest with you, when I was putting together these show notes, that completely slipped my mind. But before we get into that real quick, let's look at their situation right now. They have Mario Kart 8, which I believe was just released. Correct me if I'm wrong. It is.
Yeah. I actually saw that.
Yeah. And that received pretty much near universal praise.
It's ridiculously good.
Yeah. And it's enough to, and I tweeted this even yesterday or 2 days ago. I can't remember. Maybe over the weekend. But it's enough to make me want a Wii U. Mm-hmm. And in addition to that, of course, they're going to have Smash Brothers releasing next year, I believe, next spring. And there was a new initiative announced called Nintendo Figurine Platform. And this takes advantage of the near-field communication from the Nintendo gamepad. And if you have a Wii U gamepad, you can see it's a little square icon on the lower left. And the whole idea with this, it's kind of basically following that Skylanders model. Mm-hmm. And they're basically going to be having these figurines that you can kind of just like place on the gamepad. And one of the things that they're talking about is, the Pokemon Rumble and all these other things. And they can basically, you carry around this thing with you and it has all like the cool little stats and everything, and you can like battle your friends with them and all this stuff. So it's following that Skylanders model. Only difference is with Skylanders, you needed that extra peripheral, but for this, you don't need it because it, you know, it's built into the Wii U gamepad. And so this is a huge initiative that they're I think that they're going to really lean heavily on in their live stream, and just kind of not, if not necessarily their live stream, just their overall language and dialogue throughout E3. I think they're going to really try and play up the figurine platform thing that they got developing. And, you know, not to mention the Hyrule Warriors thing. So, I mean, they've got a lot of, and I hate using this word, potential, but they have a lot of promising ideas, at least currently as of right now. But
Wii U in a nutshell is a lot of promising ideas and potential. Like, I keep hoping one of these years you're going to say, all right, we get it now. Here we go. We're going to blow your minds. And I'm hoping this is the year, but I just don't think so.
Right, no, I mean, that was a question I was going to ask, is like they have these things, you know, set up and in their pipeline. So like, what do you think are they going to first of all discuss these things? I think Smash Brothers is obvious.
Yeah, it's obvious.
I think they're going to talk about the recent success of Mario Kart and talk about all their praise that they've been getting with that. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you're looking at these two items, right? You have Nintendo figurine platform and, of course, the Hyrule Warriors thing. And I'm not even talking about 3DS yet, but let's talk about those two things specifically right now. What do you think they're going to be discussing, or are they going to be discussing those two items?
What, Super Smash Brothers and...
No. Hyrule Warriors and their Nintendo figurine platform. I think it would behoove them that they have to, you know, discuss that, because that's...
Without a doubt. They actually announced a date for the Hyrule Warriors expected release date. I believe it's August something of this year. Oh, look it up. Yeah, we can hear us all typing looking at it.
So, I don't know, because I think, I don't know, was it Brian or somebody in our Nintendo episode said that, you know, was talking about, you have this gamepad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, use it. And I think... This figurine platform is a perfect way to use that. But are they going to recognize how much business it could probably like potentially bring them? Or are they just going to say, oh yeah, are they just going to treat it like just any other release rather than hyping it up to really sort of move units? And you know, this is something that I don't know.
Right, it's like Pied Piper in Silicon Valley. They make this great technology. It's got the power to be this amazing thing, and I don't even realize what they have on their hands until people start trying to take it away from them. So, yeah, that's happening here.
So who's Gavin Belson in this metaphor?
I don't know. You are. How about that? I don't know.
Okay. yeah, I don't know. It's they're in a, I think precarious is probably the best word that comes to mind when discussing Nintendo and their current situation, because I feel like they're like on the cusp and they could go one way or the other, honestly, at this point. So
here's what I imagine is going to happen. They're going to get out on the stream and they say, look at these cool little toys we have. Here's Mario, here's Yoshi, here's whoever else. And it's going to be these grown men in business suits holding up these little toys, and it's going to look stupid.
That's exactly what it's going to look like.
Yeah.
It's going to be grown men carrying big little toys.
Yes. And so, to me, that's going to lose a lot of the, oh, that could be cool. Like, I don't know what the answer is. I mean, you don't want to put kids up there holding them, but not guys in business suits wearing or holding up these little toys. That just, to me, that just says, look, we're making this cool thing for kids because I'm a grown man. Why would I play with this? I'm giving it to a kid. So it's the approach that they take in a lot of their stuff that I think has failed them in the past, and I think is going to be a problem during this as well. So I don't know. I hope I'm wrong. But
So you hit on a point there. So like, you think that, I mean, we talked about this in an episode past, but like, we loved Nintendo growing up, but we, the gamers, we have grown up.
Right.
And it seems like Nintendo's mindset is still sort of stuck in that catering to us when we were little kids sort of mm-hmm. thing. But even like 10-year-olds now, they're not going to play Nintendo necessarily. They're going to play Call of Duty with their friends.
Yeah,
you know, and that's not an experience you can get on a Nintendo platform right now. So, are they going to stick to their sort of more casual little kids type of mentality, or are they going to, or because like I honestly don't know, man. Are they going to like show some maturity in their presentation throughout the week next week?
Honestly, Nintendo could win the console war with 3 bullet points.
Okay, hold that for the bold prediction.
Okay, I'll hold it.
Excellent.
I'm holding it.
Brian, you have a 3DS.
I have a 3DS.
Dave, shut up. You have a 3DS too. You guys, I mean, clearly I don't have a 3DS, though I was sorely tempted because of Mario Golf. Now, what do you think? Are they going to make any moves on the 3DS front? Specific to any software or any new peripherals, or I don't even know. You guys, I mean, like, I'm literally asking because you guys are like,
Brian, you got anything?
Well, I don't know. Honestly, I haven't paid a whole lot of attention to Nintendo in the last few years because they just haven't interested me. The 3DS is the one thing that I've been like, yes, I got to get that. And so now there's all these great games on it. You know, Mario Golf being one of the newest ones. They have Mario Kart on there. It seems like that's the one platform they're doing everything right for. I'm tempted to say that because I just bought one, they're going to release a new model of it, but I don't think that's the case. I feel like there's going to be a big game announced. I think they have a slot where they're announcing a brand new game, a new Nintendo game, right? It's not necessarily a Wii U or 3DS game. It's just a new game. Am I correct there?
Are you talking
about... that as a yes.
I would think so. Let me check.
Well, there's a few spots where where the schedule says Nintendo unannounced.
Yeah. I see them. Yep.
So I feel like at least one of those is going to be some big new 3DS game. Maybe, I mean, it's too soon for a new Zelda game.
Yeah, they're not going to put out a new Zelda game. They may put out a new Mario game. They haven't put out a new Mario game for the 3DS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about a new announcement? Oh, go ahead.
They just put out the damn it, Donkey Kong, right?
Oh, right, yeah.
But they did the Tropical Freeze. I don't know. Is that even on the 3DS?
That's a good question.
New Kirby just came out. I know. I just picked it up. So the new Kirby just came out. Is there any other major IP that we haven't seen from them in a long time? Metroid?
Oh, yes.
Haven't seen a Metroid in forever. They could put out.
And how great would that be on 3DS?
Oh, my God.
Dude, I had Metroid. So I had the original DS in 2006 or 4, whenever it came out. I think it was 4 or 5. But it was the same year the PSP came out. And the games that I got were Nintendo 64. I mean, Mario 64 and the Metroid game. And I remember playing the crap out of Metroid on my DS.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know of another Metroid that's come out since then. I think they had one for GameCube, which I loved.
Yeah. I'm not sure they've had one since then.
I don't think they've had a Metroid since then.
But see, here's the one on the DS.
So, but here's the question: that's a major IP. I mean, Metroid is huge.
It is.
And do you think? I mean, like, I would almost rather have them put that on the Wii U rather than on the 3DS.
Which is exactly why I'll go to the 3DS, because they don't do the right thing ever.
Well, they've also they have a lot of IPs that have been kind of coming back in their digital formats and have been selling really well. That I know that they got to see those numbers and be like, okay, maybe we need to remake this game. Like games like Mother, people may know it as Earthbound.
Oh yeah,
I could see them doing a new Earthbound. Bringing back the old school RPG.
I thought they did.
But with high graphics.
Wait, with NES?
With NES.
I hate NES in Smash Brothers.
I know, exactly. So people love it. As for 3DS announcements, one big thing that I can confirm that they will go over, they're idiots if they don't, they're releasing a remake of the third generation of Pokemon. So that's, for those who don't know, they're releasing Alpha Sapphire and Omega Ruby, or Omega Sapphire and Alpha Ruby. Anyway, it's Ruby and Sapphire that they're remaking, which is amazing. Those are those were really good ones, and that actually was the beginning of the new era of Pokemon, which we are still in, was third generation. So it's a kind of a big deal that they're remaking this, because this is the first time that they've remade a Pokemon game, and there's been another version of it still reasonably within circulation.
Interesting.
All the ones before this, versions 1 and 2, were taken out of circulation because they were not compatible with the versions 3 and later.
Well, and the current Pokemon is still selling really well on the charts. I mean, it's still in the top 10.
They are, exactly. Which, another thing, I expect that they'll be announcing a American and UK special Pokemon release for our areas. They have multiple Pokemon that are in the game that can only be obtained through special events. I don't think they've done one special event for the American Nintendo crowd since they haven't done a giveaway for this version yet, for the sixth edition. So I'm sure they're going to probably announce something about that. They're going to announce Pokemon Ruby and Sapphire remakes. I'd be willing to bet they announce something with Mario, seeing as how it's no longer the year of Luigi.
Yeah, I think that's a good call.
I'd be willing to say that... You know what else we haven't seen in a long time, which I think would be amazing on the 3DS, is Star Fox.
Oh, yes. Yes. That's what I want.
Now, do you want, but see, I don't know, like, again, would you rather have that on a handheld or on a TV on your Wii U?
I'd rather have it on a TV, but at this point, I would be okay if it was on the 3DS.
Is it possible, I don't know how Sony does it, but, you know, Sony releases so many games that are available on PS3 and Vita, or PS4 and Vita. Do the Wii U and 3DS interact like that? Is that something that they could release it for both?
No.
Yeah.
Nope.
The store is interconnected, kinda.
Yeah.
Where, like, you can redeem points that you earn from the store and get 3DS or Wii games. But, unfortunately, the games are for one console or the other.
Yeah. Well, all right. Gentlemen, time for bold predictions on Nintendo.
Oof.
Dave, you had your three bullet points. What are they?
This is how Nintendo could win the day. Honestly, they could blow everyone out of the water. If they walked up on stage and looked across the crowd and said, we've always wanted to stick to our roots. We've always wanted to give you the highest power system for the best price. And they announce, we don't have it here today to show, but we want to announce that we are in development of the next-gen system that we'll be releasing.
You just stole my bold prediction.
if they come out with three bullet points, one, we're making a new system. Two, it's going to be powerful enough to play your games without having to worry about frame rate, without having to worry about resolution. If they say the final bullet point of, it's going to be cheaper than all of our competitors, then there is no way that they can lose. Because there's no way Sony, there's no way Xbox will be making a new system to compete with Nintendo if Nintendo puts out a system right now.
Okay, so you blew my mind right there. So, and Shank, you had a similar idea. What are the chances they actually do that? Is this
less than
something
zero.
You're feeling?
Less than zero.
Less than zero.
It's less than zero.
If they wanted to
that
win,
that is a bold prediction.
They could do it.
Yeah, and honestly, I mean, Nintendo, for all the frustration that we gamers have with them, I mean, come on, we grew up playing Nintendo. I think we're always going to have a soft spot in our heart for Nintendo. As frustrated, and I think our frustration just shows that we still care about Nintendo, you know? So, and I'm telling you right now, if they said that...
It's because he loves me!
Shut up, Dave. So if they came out and Reggie-san said, like, yo, here is our next platform, and they drop the Wii brand, but and it's a brand new platform, and they don't have the actual thing to show us, but they show us the specs and say this is what we're looking at, right? I mean, hell yeah, I'll go buy it, because your mind automatically starts to think of, man, I cannot believe. I mean, just imagine a new Zelda on that. But Dave, here's my bold point, and it's actually. They talk about a new console, but I take it a step further. Mm-hmm. They say, here's our new console. Here are the specs. We don't have it to show you, but we have the specs. And for all of you who bought a Wii U in the last 12 months, we will give you a refund and put that money towards the next console.
I don't see them ever giving a refund, but I definitely tell them, for all those people who bought a Wii U, don't worry. Because the system will be backwards compatible.
Again, less than zero chance. But my my bold prediction. Brian, what about you?
All right, well, my prediction has maybe a 5% chance, so I'm ahead of you guys here. But I think we might maybe see a price drop. It's it's going for, what, $299, I think, right now.
I could see a price drop.
Yeah, and I don't see it going much, but I think maybe a $250 Wii U would be realistic and would help. I know I would definitely consider it a little bit more at that price, but now that you've got me excited about a new Nintendo console, I may not buy it right now at all. So I think that was my initial thought, is that we're going to get a price drop to $249. But, and I don't know, has there been any new Zelda news? Isn't there like a new game hanging out there? They talked
Hyrule
about
Warriors. We were
that is
about.
The Hyrule Warriors one.
Yeah, that's releasing that was something else. Okay. August 14th.
Oh, that is confirmed. Okay.
Yeah, release date's August 14th. Okay. Just in comparison, so we know percentage wise, there's about 90% chance that it's going to start with Iwata in front of a white screen and bowing to us and apologizing for crap over the last year or whatever.
And it's going to have bubbly music.
It's going to have about 117% chance that we're going to talk 90% of the show is going to be about Super Smash Brothers. There's going to be about 50% chance that Randy walks out on stage and kills a man with his bare hands. There's going to be about a 20% chance for there to be a full size, like a human wearing a giant costume of a
Pikmin.
Pokemon.
They did that. I think when they talked about the new Pikmin.
Yeah, there's a very good likelihood there will be a full size costumed character of a game that they're discussing. So, just so we're relating percentages here. But yeah, there is still a 50% chance that Randy will kill someone. We love him, but there's a chance he's going to kill you.
That is the perfect time to move on to Sony. So, Sony's press conference, they will be closing out the June 9th press conference day, starting at 5:30 p.m. Pacific time. So for us in Central Time Zone, which is the correct and only time zone, that is 7:30 p.m. for us. Now, a few things to keep in mind. Again, we're going to do the same thing. What are they going to start with? What are they going to end with? And each a bold prediction from each of us. But a few things to keep in mind with Sony. Some of their first-party titles have been delayed. For example, The Order has been pushed to February 2015. And I know, I mean, I'm not going to speak for Brian because I don't want to put words in his mouth. But I know, me personally, I'm super psyched for that game. And I know, actually, I will put words in his mouth because I know you've been tweeting out the Eurogamer interviews with them, with our Rushy and stuff. Oh, no, that's Drive Club. Never mind.
Yeah, I am not interested in Order, actually.
Never mind. So I was looking at Drive. See, this is weird. I was looking at Drive Club but talking about Order when I was really. Anyway, so speaking of Drive Club, Drive Club's the only first-party exclusive for the PS4 coming out this year. Let me say that again. It's the only first-party exclusive coming out to PlayStation 4 this year. That doesn't mean it's the only game, but as far as first-party exclusives go, that's it.
I'm not counting The Last of Us, which already is out on PS3. So.
Correct, yeah. And The Last of Us is getting remastered. I think it's safe to say Brian and I are both going to get it.
Yeah.
despite my Shanks spiel last week, but just watch that. And the question is this going to sell PS4s? Because I know I have a friend who did not play Last of Us when it came out last year. He did get a PlayStation 4 for Christmas, and I told him, I was like, he was like, he asked me, should I play Last of Us? And I said, dude, hold off. The Last of Us Remastered is coming. It's going to be obviously better visuals and frame rate performance, but it's also going to have the DLC, the single player DLC in there. So, you know, I would hold off and wait until just get this one and play this version instead. The other thing I want us to remember is that pretty much since the February reveal last year, so February 21st last year, Sony has been on a tear. They have some serious, serious momentum. And, I mean, honestly, they've had momentum and they've been winning just by not doing anything. They've been doing the same thing that they've been doing since, you know, with the used game policy, the lack of internet connection requirement. They've been doing the same thing. They have literally haven't been doing anything. And they've just been letting, you know, Microsoft initially just, you know, shoot themselves in the foot. So in contrast, you know, they were doing well and they have so much momentum. But it's, I mean, in this business world, in the industry, you cannot sustain that momentum forever. And with the only first party exclusive, how are they going to keep people convinced? Guys, we sold you on a promise, you know, just like any new device. We sold you on a promise, but there's only one exclusive right now. PlayStation is still the best place to play. How are they going to convince people to do that? And I have a theory.
What's that?
But, well, I've talked enough. I want to hear what you guys have to say first before I propose my theory.
Well, my answer to your question is actually my bold prediction. Do you want me to
just jump ahead, into it? Yeah.
All right. Well, I think obviously that is definitely bad news. Only one, you know, first party exclusive coming out in a year.
I should say AAA first party.
Well, sure.
Let me caveat that.
Yeah, because they have about 1,027,000 indie games coming out on PS4. So, which is awesome. And that's one of the things they're going to have to play up and say, look, we have a new game coming out every week that you can get. You know, autumn you can only get here, but I think that's only going to get you so far because you're already starting to see some of the cynicism on the internet saying, oh, all you can play on PS4 is indie games and all you can play, you know, that kind of crap on my, you know, my 360 or my PS3. Why do I need a PS4? Or Steam, yes. So I think my bold prediction and my answer to your question is they're going to come out and they're going to say, we are now selling our console for, not only are we selling it for $349, but we're throwing in a copy of The Last of Us PS4 in with that. So starting today, on that day, you're going to be able to go out and buy, well, maybe the next day, Tuesday, you can go out and buy a Sony PlayStation 4 for $349 with a copy of The Last of Us. That's how they're going to get people buying their console now and saying, hang on, it's okay. We got great games like this that you can only play here. So
you stole my
again,
bold prediction.
That has a 3% chance of happening.
You stole my bold prediction minus The Last of Us. Like, I wasn't talking about The Last of Us, but I was definitely going to think $349 PS4. I mean,
yeah.
If they do that, that's you can't ignore that. That's pretty
well. And it's just another. I mean, like you said, they've been doing everything right and waiting for Microsoft to stumble, and now here's you know Microsoft has finally said, look, we're doing what you want. Finally, I mean, what better opportunity for Sony to say, okay, well, we'll just do this and make us
exactly,
the
yeah.
Again. So
exactly, yeah. I mean, that's the thing is like you know Microsoft kind of showed their hand with the $399 mm-hmm. before E3,
right?
You know now
and.
They've given the power sort of back to Sony, and so now Sony can say, "Okay, $399. Well, how about $349?"
Right, and now and since they put out the report, I mean, the PS4 is already profitable. Mm-hmm. They're not losing money on this console. They can afford to do something with the price. You know, maybe not a whole $50. I don't know, but that just makes sense. You know, a $50 price drop. So
loss leader, man.
Yeah. So, there you go,
Dave.
What's up?
Thoughts.
Oh,
all right, back to Brian.
No.
Bold prediction number two.
First off, what I think about Sony, I think Vita's crap. They should have stopped with the PSP and just ended it because honestly, nobody wants a Vita. Like they do not show Vita nearly enough love to make it actually viable to even have.
That's true. They don't show it enough love.
It's like, yeah, it's there because we once had a PSP and we have to compete with Nintendo. Like, really? that same thing is happening with Microsoft in its little camera crap because they wanted to compete with Nintendo. That's a stupid thing to do. The Vita needs to either be loved or let die. Pick one. I've had enough of this halfway in, halfway out crap that we're dealing with. As for what can we expect for the PS4, the only thing that the PS4 has going for it that's so ballin' that people will love the hell out of it is PS Plus. Which, by the way, is Xbox Gold is becoming PS Plus. So that's all fine and dandy until this is going to be the turning point on that. So basically, anything they say on PS Plus, which they're going to tout, because currently, it's the best thing out there. But 6 months from now, PS Plus will be nothing. It'll be exactly the same as Xbox Live Gold, and there'll be no difference between the two.
Unless...
Don't you even start with me, Shank.
Unless they announce some seriously crazy... I mean, because you have to think...
They'd
like,
have to.
Microsoft made some good consumer-friendly, pro-consumer moves in the last, you know, since Phil Spencer. And but the only downside to that is that they've showed Sony their hand before E3. Now, I understand making business decisions 2 weeks out, but before E3. I mean, that's... In a company as large as Sony, that's very difficult. And you can't just... I mean, you can, but it's not going to be as easy to just say, oh, Microsoft did this, let's do this now.
Well, not to interrupt, but they did that on the day of their announcement last year. They cut the camera out of the price.
They did.
Out of the bundle. So, I mean, they can respond.
They can respond, but, like, I don't know. Sony, to me, seems... I don't know. I don't think, like I said, I don't think it's sustainable to be reactionary like that.
But that's how they do it.
That's how they're doing it.
It isn't sustainable, but they are reactionary. One of them does one thing, the other one does another thing. They always do that. Nintendo makes something, Sony and Microsoft have to copy it. Sony does it for less, Microsoft has to drop their price. Sony has to retort. It's the same old crap since day one. And you know what? I've had enough of it, and fans will too. The fact of the matter is, there's nothing Sony has currently that Microsoft won't become in the next 6 months unless Sony does something. Well, Sony's going to do something. Either it's going to drop its price ridiculously, which it won't, or they'll be adding something to PS Plus, which I doubt there's anything they could add that would really make it that much better. It's already ballin'. The only other thing I could imagine Sony could even possibly do that would make people rush out and buy PS4s hand over fist would be to implement backwards compatibility on their systems.
And see, that's what you talked about. And this is the other thing is we need to remember what was announced, you know, way back at CES, PlayStation Now. And it's been scheduled for a summer release.
Then they're probably going to talk about it.
Exactly. I bet you anything that they're going to come out on stage, talk with a bunch of numbers and charts because, you know, that's what Sony always does. They're going to talk about the sales of PS4s, the life cycle and span of PS3, and some love to the Vita. Though I agree with you, Dave, they need to make a choice. Are we going to support Vita with quality AAA stuff? Right now, there's a ton of indie stuff on there. Borderlands, okay. But if you have Borderlands on the PS3, why would you get it on the Vita? You know, exactly.
There's no reason to get a Vita. Like, in Nintendo, you can't get the stuff on the 3DS that you can get on the Wii U, and vice versa. But with the Sony, everything you can get on a Vita, you can get on the PS4. And in fact, half the crap on the PS3 and the PS4, you can stream to the Vita.
Yeah, there's that. And that was also why I asked about the connectivity between the Wii U and the 3DS, is because that is the one benefit to being able to get all the same games on the two systems, is that you can take your Borderlands save on the road with you when you go see your great-grandma Guinevere? Sure. And you can keep playing Borderlands, even though it's, you know, it's not the same. It's a little different. You got a little bit kind of wonky controls. If you're that into a game, you can play it no matter where you are. That's the benefit. That's what was important to me when I got mine, is that I could take my game saves on the road and continue my experience. But obviously, it's not the same for everybody. I understand that. And they do need more AAA games. And I think this might be the year they do it. That was a bold prediction, like 2.5. But I think there's a chance we see, you know, an infamous Vita game. Because now is the time. Now that Infamous Second Son came out and was a huge hit, people were loving it. Now is the time to get it on the Vita and say, "Oh, I loved it on PS4. I want to go play it on my Vita as well." So,
or rather than have the same game, like I would almost want them to do like take an IP from your console and make a different. So, like have Infamous Second Son on PS4, but then maybe have like a different story of, you know, Infamous Second Son.
Yeah. In the same, like, setting. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, like, because if you can get the same experience, why wouldn't you play the better experience? You know,
again,
like,
it's not about, oh, I have it on PS4. I don't need it on Vita. It's again, it's that taking it with you. It's the, guy who is on the train all day, or, I mean,
you can take it with you, sure. But, like, you know, just, you know, so many months after the base game has already come out, do you really want to go back?
And I didn't mean an Infamous Second Son game coming. I meant another Infamous, like just, you said, in a different setting. Infamous titled, but a different story. Yeah.
I think one thing, but I mean, coming back to PlayStation Now quickly, I think that they really need to hammer home that point, because neither Microsoft nor Nintendo have a PlayStation Now equivalent. And it's backwards.
Nintendo's starting to build it.
You're correct. But
they don't have it.
Right. And yes, you're going to have to pay for those games. They're talking about a subscription model, not prescription. or you can rent them. It's not, you know, clean backwards compatibility where you literally just throw in your disc and it works. But I personally think it is enough where people would be like, "Oh my God, dude, holy crap, Crash Bandicoot, I loved this game. I will like pay like a buck for them." Because remember, they had a sale not too long ago where like those games were 99 cents. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to really, really lean on PS Now towards the end, like close to the end of their conference after their showcase. Like there's giant montages of all these indie stuff.
Montage.
So I think, you know, PlayStation Now is going to be a huge thing, and they really need to sell it right. They've been doing a lot of good things and the right things so far. And you know, they're good at responding to fans, especially now compared to their terrible days of the 2009-2010 of PS3. I think PS Now could be a good thing if they've implemented it correctly.
And the price is right, correctly.
Yeah, and you know, they've shown that they can price correctly with the PS4 $399. That's a good price point for most people. If they price PS Now appropriately, or, you know, a lot of people have PS Plus. If people have PS Plus, why not give them a discounted price or just have free PS Now?
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, there's a lot of things that they could do with that. I think PS Now is going to be a big thing that they're going to lean on. Finally, Last Guardian. We haven't seen anything about this game since its reveal in 2009. 2009. I was still in college. In 2009. So what I think they're going to do is I think they're going to start the show with either a first party demo or like with The Order or with Destiny. And they're going to close the show with, "Oh yeah, here's one more thing. Last Guardian." Boom.
That sounds crazy.
It does sound crazy.
Yeah, I would love it if that was the case, because that's one of those, it's reaching, you know, mythical status now. It's this, you know, and
StarCraft Ghosts.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I would love it if they said, "Oh, by the way, the game is done, and here's a good look at it." Not done, but, you know, that would be awesome.
God.
So let me throw out another one if we're done with Last Guardian.
Yeah.
You didn't ask this, but I think when they open the show, I think it's going to be... I mean, what's the one studio within Sony that has had a heck of a lot of trouble in the last few months? It's Naughty Dog. And they have this game Uncharted that is supposed to be coming out. They revealed it last year or early this year.
No. They revealed it the night of the PlayStation launch.
That's right. So everybody knew it was coming. Oh, great. That's amazing. A new Uncharted game. And then now in the last few months, people have been leaving the studio. They're getting canned. They're burning the buildings down. I mean, nothing is going right for Naughty Dog and Uncharted right now. So I think what we can expect to see here is the lights go down. Boom, here's a big, huge gameplay trailer from Uncharted just to let us know, look, the game's okay. It's going to be all right. We haven't given up on it. There are still two people left in the studio who are working on it, so it's going to be fine. And I think that's what we're going to see very first when the lights go down for Sony. So,
well, I mean, funny you say that, because I saw a Game Informer interview with the co-presidents of Naughty Dog. And they, I mean, the Game Informer, like, straight up asked them, they were like, hey, so, like, what's going on with Naughty Dog? And they're like, well, like, nothing. Everybody's, like, working, and they're super psyched about Uncharted. So, and I don't know. I think, because remember they released that statement when, what was her name? Amy Hennig?
Amy Hennig, yeah.
She was let go, and, like, everyone was like, oh, yeah, no, they forced her out. And then they were like, that's not at all what happened. Like, she just left. So I think it's once again, the industry media people just blowing and sensationalizing everything. So I think Naughty Dog is, yeah, they had, you know, your lead writer leaving, is that's kind of a big hit, right? That's kind of, especially Naughty Dog, they have very good writing on their games, recent games at least. So I think, I mean, that would be awesome, dude. I would love to see some Uncharted, but I don't know if they have anything of that, because I personally don't see that game being released until at least like fall 2015.
Yeah, I think that's a realistic timeline, but I gotta believe they have something kind of like what we saw with The Order the other day, where it's just a 3 to 5 minute demo.
Yeah, like a snippet. You know?
Yeah. So I mean, they gotta have something to show for the work the last few years. So you would hope. Stick figures, maybe.
All right, well, that's all I got for Sony. You guys have anything?
I have one thing.
Sure.
My bold prediction.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. One thing I've actually already said is that Microsoft and Sony like to emulate their competitors.
One-upsmanship.
One big thing Nintendo's always done, as we've already said, is that they like to renew their IPs. Bring them back over and over and over and over. One thing that I think Sony could do that would really reel people back in, that would really put their footprint in the sand kind of thing, is to go back, now that they have the ability to repurchase the old games that you used to know and love, that's going to remind people of those games. That's going to make people want to play them. They already have Naughty Dog in their pocket. How hard would it be to make a new Crash Bandicoot?
Like a ground-up Crash Bandicoot, like for the PS4.
Yeah, straight-up Crash Bandicoot. How hard would it be to make a brand-new Jak and Daxter? How hard would it be to go in and make a brand-new Spyro?
Oh my god, Spyro.
Yeah. Like, all these games they could make would just be ridiculous. Especially with the level of graphics that you have on this system, there's so much that they could do that would really set the bar that they just haven't even attempted, because I guess they're scared or something, but there's so much they could do that would just blow Microsoft out of the water, that would just blow Nintendo out of the water just on the guts of the machine alone.
I guess you're, because in terms of library, I mean, certainly Nintendo has a very storied library, but compared to Microsoft, Microsoft is a newbie. You know, Microsoft's big title from way back when is Halo.
But which is one of the only games that they still have going on. But Sony's how many of their original IPs survived PlayStation 2?
Let's see, Tomb Raider.
Tomb Raider.
Crash
Tomb Raider and what's the other one? Metal Gear Solid.
Metal Gear Solid, yeah.
Is there anything other than that?
I thought there was a Crash Bandicoot on the original Xbox.
Well, there was, but I'm saying survived past the PS2. How many PlayStation games and PlayStation 2 games survived to PS3 that are IPs that we know and love that we tied to Sony back in the day? That they could, without a doubt, bring out a new IP renew that IP by bringing out a new game in the series, and just draw people right back in.
No, dude, I agree. That would be sick.
That'd be amazing. They could play on what Nintendo is trying to do. Nintendo is trying to pull you into using their system because they're using familiar characters that you already know and love.
Yeah, I mean, the first console I ever owned was a PS1, even though I played, you know, the crap out of my friend's Nintendo. Like, that was the first thing I owned, and I played the crap out of Crash Bandicoot, and I'm pretty sure I still have those games, like, in my parents' house. But, no, man, I mean, yeah, you bring those back, and a lot of the people now that are playing PS4, that age group, that demographic, grew up playing your PS1. That's a good point.
I mean, not every game needs to be God of War. Not no. Every game needs to be Call of Duty. There are more games in the universe on Sony PlayStation than Final Fantasy, God of War, and Call of Duty. But damn it, if every game on their system isn't Call of Duty, God of War, or Final Fantasy. And yes, I'm calling Last of Us Call of Duty because the only way you interact in the game is by shooting stuff.
No. That's false, but okay. Yeah. We'll give you that. We'll let you think that. That's okay. Okay. Dave's gross oversimplification and generalization of Last of Us aside.
It is a ridiculous generalization. I know, but Last of Us is an anomaly.
Uncharted there need to is basically be more Mario, Last of so. Us.
There need to be more Uncharteds. There need to be more games that you just want to sit down and play without having to think.
No, yeah, I mean, I agree, man. And I think, you know, that's something that not just Sony, but Sony specifically, just because I think their libraries and their first party studios are kind of ridiculous. That's something they should leverage, I think. Other than that, anything else on Sony, guys, before we move on? All right, Microsoft.
Oh, I got one more thing for Sony. I think that they're going to actually increase the price and force you to use the Sony I thing.
So Microsoft has their press conference on June 9th. they're actually kicking off the whole press conference thing. So it's interesting. Microsoft is kicking it off starting at 9 a.m. Pacific on June 9th, next Monday. And Sony is ending it on June 9th at 5:30 p.m. Pacific. So Sony and Microsoft are bookending the day of press conferences. Some things to keep in mind. We already discussed the Kinectless $399 Xbox One. Available that day, actually, on June 9th, you will be able to buy a Kinectless $399 Xbox One. Also, like we mentioned, there's a new Xbox Live initiative, which they announced alongside their $399 SKU. You now get two free games with Xbox Live Gold. And as we said, this is similar to PlayStation Plus. However, there is one, in my opinion, crucial difference. Sony's PlayStation, they call it the Instant Game Collection on Sony. So this means you get two free games every month. You get those games as long as you're subscribed to PS Plus. So meaning if your subscription lapses and you don't renew, those games that you had, those free games are now gone. Microsoft's offer is that you get two free games similar to PS Plus with Xbox Live Gold. But even if Xbox Live Gold lapses, you still keep those games. They're tied to your account. That's a good initiative. I can see Sony stepping up and saying, hey, we're letting you keep the games.
Actually, there's a little bit of a correction there. Maybe you were getting there. I don't know. But the Xbox One games require that you stay subscribed to Game Gold.
Yes,
Xbox 360, you can keep forever. So
My bad. Yeah, so yeah, 360, you can keep forever. One, if your subscription lapses, it's gone. Sony's, however, PS3 or PS4, it doesn't matter. Your subscription lapses, it's gone. Something else to note, Microsoft is going to have more AAA exclusives than Sony in store for 2014. Looking at Quantum Break, the rumored Master Chief Collection, which, dear God, I hope is true, and Sunset Overdrive. These are two confirmed big AAA exclusives.
And actually, Quantum Break was delayed to 2015, actually.
So was it really?
It was, yeah.
That's news to me. Okay. So, They have Sunset Overdrive. And of course, they're whatever Halo 2 thing, which I mean, that's got to be real. I mean, because there's a lot of things that they were doing. But on top of that, and we're going to get a little bit lower down when we're talking about all the unannounced titles, which are quite ridiculous and numerous. Phil Spencer took control of, or he was promoted to head of Xbox. Let's see. Recently, right? Like I think in March or April. Mm-hmm. So this was very, very recently. And he, I mean, I'm telling you, I have a lot of respect for this man. He's made a lot of sweeping changes. And he said, he's been on the record saying that E3 is all going to be about games, games, games. And in fact, he said that, you know, dude, we had to like start pushing things out because we were running over. And I suspect the $3.99 announcement and the Xbox Live initiative were two things that they pushed out. They absolutely should not talk about Kinect. They should not talk about any of their TV crap that they've got going on, their TV shows. But we're in a situation now where Xbox is on price parity with the PS4, and they have their own sort of PS Plus thing going on with the Xbox Live Gold. And as we can see later down, they have a lot of unannounced titles coming up. And, you know, who only knows, like, what can they be? So, again, questions to you, gentlemen. What is Microsoft going to start their conference with?
Their TV capabilities and videos that are going to have on Microsoft.
Wow. I'm going to, and this is like sort of kind of a bold-ish prediction, but I'm going to say that they start, no, that's not true. I'm going to say that they, okay, no, I'll say that they're going to end their conference with Halo 5 gameplay.
See, I was going to say they started with Halo 5, so it's interesting.
All right.
And I don't know. I mean, it seems like a weird thing to start it with because we all know about it now. You probably would want to save it, but that's why you wouldn't save it for the end because we all know it's coming, I think. So, you know, get it out of the way early, and then, oh, my God, what is left? We already know about Halo now. We already know about the price drop. You know, what else is left for this conference? So I just feel like it's kind of setting it up to be an epic conference if you do it that way.
So do you think they're going to – if they start with Halo, do you think they're going to have a new IP at the end? They closed last year with Titanfall.
Yeah. I think that makes sense. Yeah, I think they have to have something up their sleeve that's new that we haven't heard of. I don't know. I don't know if I'm feeling it for this conference. I don't know if they have it.
You know what I think they're going to do?
What's that?
Because you know Sony's going to fall back on that shoot 'em up that they're going to be releasing.
The Order?
Donkey Kong?
The MMO.
Destiny?
Destiny.
Destiny. Now, that's only on PS4, right?
Nope.
No, it's...
Is on Microsoft too?
It's on both current and last gen consoles. But Sony has like exclusive content. Like I think they have, at least I know that they're going to get the beta first, I think, on PS4 along with some exclusive content on the Sony platforms.
I see Microsoft going the way of Elder Scrolls Online. I see them kind of making that their flagship.
Making Destiny?
Microsoft making Elder Scrolls Online their flagship.
Oh,
but they see, but they, yeah. They're not doing that because already the ESO was shown at Sony's press conference last year, yeah. And Sony
I
platforms.
I grasp that, but I can see them doing something special for Microsoft because Bethesda and Microsoft have always been in a really gross relationship.
Oh, with their 30-day.
Yeah, where they like DLC. To fondle each other lovingly while they make everybody else wait for video games to release. I can see them doing something. Honestly, I think that Bethesda is going to show up during Microsoft's speech to show ESO and the configurations for the controller. Because ESO runs so well on low-end equipment that it would run really well on the Xbox One, and they can show it in high definition with a lot more ease than other things that have released on the Xbox One recently.
See, I don't know, man. Because like
they're going to want to make their system look good, right?
They're going to want to make their system look good, but like, what have they been doing? You talk about Microsoft and Xbox, and like immediately it's the Call of Duty console.
Yeah.
So that's why I think they're going to start That's why I think they're going to start the show with the new Call of Duty and end with Halo.
They are going to get a lot of flack if they start and end with a shoot 'em up.
That's true. So see, that's the thing. Like, I don't know, because remember, we still have third party titles like The Witcher, which was shown at Microsoft's conference. But I mean, come on, that's being developed with PC first in mind. That's not being elitist. That's just what CD Projekt Red is. And as you know, CD Projekt Red has even said, like, we're not doing any exclusive stuff on either platform. That's not how we operate. So it's interesting. Like, Microsoft is in a almost like a similar situation with Sony. It's like, what are the – you need to sell your experiences. You need to sell exclusive experiences that only you can get on your platform.
But that's not how Microsoft does its business.
It's not. But
they've never touted the sole experience of Microsoft except for Halo. They've never stood behind their own products. They've always tried to build the system so that any developer for anyone, PlayStation, Nintendo, whatever, whoever's developing a game, they can easily translate it over to the Xbox. That's what it was all about.
That's true,
Xbox released.
Right, and I think, but there's one missing puzzle piece. All of that stuff happened before Phil Spencer was in complete control of Xbox. And we've already seen he's made some pretty, I mean, come on, these are some pretty major changes to the platform. Yeah. So I think with that in mind, I mean, he's talking about games. He had an interview with Kotaku. We need to win back the core gamer. I honestly think that this E3, because this is his first E3 where he's totally in control.
Something completely fresh, dude.
Yeah, I think it's going to be much different than what it's been in the past, where it's all been, you know, courting third parties and et cetera, where Sony's always had this incredible department of just first party studios. Compared to Microsoft, at least. So I think Microsoft this year is really going to have to step up their game and show that these are first-party stuff, that this is why we're better than Sony. This is why our first-party studios are better than Sony. But it's going to be interesting, man, because like whatever happens, I think, is just going to be interesting. It's either something – I don't think we're going to reach the meteoric levels of last year where – I mean, I've never seen what happened last – like I've never seen that in my life. That was insane. I don't think that's going to happen this year, but we're in a situation now where both systems, price parity, one is more powerful than the other, sure, but most consumers aren't going to look at it that way. They're going to say, what games can I play on your system? And I think Microsoft especially really needs to come out and say, look at all the fun stuff you can do with our system. Forget about Kinect, forget about TV, look at all our games. And I really think Phil Spencer is the secret sauce. Like, I have so much faith and respect for him and what he's done. But
I really do too. And I think he is the answer. And I think this is a special opportunity for Microsoft to put themselves in a position to be the number one console, at least for the rest of the year. Because as we kind of talked about, Sony is maybe in a little bit of trouble. They don't have a whole lot of new first party games coming out. Microsoft has more, at least. And there's a lot of good news in their favor right now. They kind of have the momentum going. And I think with Phil being there to say, all right, we're going to do it my way now. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. I think they're in a great position to kind of make a run here the second half of the year and not catch PS4 in sales, because PS4 is going to keep selling, but maybe make a big chunk or take a big chunk out of the gap. So I hope that happens. I really want to see Microsoft pick it up and do well and start making this a bit more of a competitive match again.
I agree. I mean, I don't want Microsoft to fail, even though I've been incredibly vocal about their blatantly anti-consumer policies before they switched.
You just don't like that they only have 100 pixels less. That's what you don't like about
it. It isn't that much, Shank. Jeez.
If you want to know how to troll me, just listen to Totally Heroes. But yeah, I want Microsoft to succeed, because that means that Sony's going to need to do something, and that's, I mean, no matter how you cut it, that's what competition is.
Yeah, the more they fight to push themselves against each other, the better
it is for us. Yeah.
They're going to end up forcing themselves to make a better product at a lower price, and that's good for the consumer.
That's exactly what happened last year. I mean, come on, that's what happened last year. That's $4.99, okay, $3.99 with no camera. Oh, and we don't have those antiques. So, like, I mean, that just clearly that benefited us. So that's, I think we're not going to see something as epic as that, but still, I'm really looking forward to seeing them. I mean, I'm pretty sure, because this is the first year of this console, this current generation's life cycle. Yeah, they're really going to need to convince us, like, this is what we have done, which admittedly isn't a lot. This is what we're going to be doing, and this is why you need to buy us. So let's look at some bold predictions from Microsoft. Anybody?
Oh, man. I actually have something, and it ain't pretty.
Okay.
First off...
Is it bold?
Yeah, it's bold. Spencer is going to want to make a name for himself, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, he can't come out on stage and say something crazy and not expect the backlash that we got last year. He's gonna need to take a step forward without chancing two steps back. Okay? What I expect is we're gonna hear a repeat of all this news we've already heard. The Kinectless, the new Xbox Live, we're gonna hear about Quantum Break. All the normal stuff is gonna fill up 90% of Microsoft's show. I expect it. Because they're going to want to not rock the boat. They don't want to be booed off stage, basically, like they did last year. They don't want to hear Microsoft does something terrible 2 years in a row. Because if they start making a precedent, that's what they're going to be known for. And they cannot have that.
And that's what happened to Sony for, like, 3 years during the PS3. I mean, they just didn't get it for, like, that stretch of time.
They didn't get it. Microsoft won't let that happen. Microsoft is smart. I know they go crazy sometimes, but Microsoft, they are really smart people. They built this from the ground up. And yeah, it kind of sucks every now and again because it isn't perfect, but honestly, they're not willing to take another shot to the face. Okay? They will play it safe, is my bet. There will be a few crazy things, but no... Nothing so bad that it can be thrown back in their face. That's kind of a bold prediction because that's the opposite of what we're expecting to see, isn't it?
I don't know. Yeah. I'm honestly a little bit more on the optimistic side for this year specifically, is because, I mean, last year I was just so pessimistic and it turned out that all my fears were realized and then some. This year, though, I mean, with Phil Spencer at the helm, my viewpoint specifically with respect to Microsoft's presentation is a little bit, it's tipping more toward the optimistic side than the pessimistic side. I think Phil Spencer is smart enough. I mean, he's a gamer, first and foremost. He is a gamer. He really understands the consumer. I follow him on Twitter. I mean, that guy really takes his time and responds to people. He really does. And he knows his stuff. I've listened to him on various podcasts, and he genuinely understands consumers and the way the industry is going. And specifically, he understands consumers' criticisms, and he knows that they needed a change, and they look at what happened. You know, they made some pretty ridiculous changes in the first, like, 8 months of the console's life cycle, not even 6 months. So I am expecting to, you know, hear some good things from the conference. I'm expecting a huge focus on games, not so much a regurgitation of, you know, Xbox. I mean, yeah, they will remind us at the beginning that, hey, you can go get this console $399 right now. Oh, yeah, and here's Xbox Live Gold. I don't expect that whole spiel to take more than 10 minutes max. And I think that they're going to get rid of that in the beginning and then talk about games for the entire time. So I'm very optimistic. As for bold prediction, it's really hard to say because we've already got the Halo announcement. We've already got
the you know, all the other like Sunset Overdrive. My only bold prediction and is if the rumor, the Master Chief Collection is actualized, and they say, oh yeah, boom, Master Chief Collection, Halos 1 through 4, releasing this fall. Oh, you can get all four Halos. Here you go.
That has to be real. That has to be happening.
If that's – God, I hope it's real. Like, I hope it's real. I don't know if it is or not. Like, for those kind of things, I would hope to be a little bit more pessimistic and say, no, it's not real, and downplay it. But I really, really do hope it's real because, good Lord, I love the story in the Halo games. But that's my bold prediction.
You know what? I before Brian, I'm going to have you take us out. But I just want to say that there is still like a 20% chance that Reggie Fils-Aimé. Fils-Aimé. That Reggie, there's about a 20% chance that he runs out on stage during the Xbox presentation and kills someone with his bare hands. So be on the lookout. That'll be awesome.
That was my bold prediction. Dang it. No. I think, like you, Shank, I'm pretty optimistic for Microsoft. I think, because I said they are in a good position. They have the momentum. I think they're in a great spot where they can get out and do something great. I think it's going to be a great show. But like you also, Dave, I think you made a good point. It's not going to be this crazy, oh my God, look at all these amazing things. It's going to be pretty safe. But I think they're going to make one mistake. And I think that's going to be that they're going to talk about Kinect for about 10 minutes. I think they have invested too much in the device, in the thing, the entire thing itself, that I think they're going to have to talk about. I mean, they've got studios that are mad at them. They've got games that were or maybe still are coming out for it, like the Disney one. They got a big Disney one that's going to be this huge thing, apparently.
Fantasia or something?
Fantasia, yeah. So I think they're going to make a bit of a mistake and spend 10 minutes showing all these great Kinect games they have coming out. You know, they're not going to maybe call out any particular games, but they're going to say, look, we got a lot of great stuff coming for the Kinect. If you bought one already or if you want to choose to buy one now, look at this great stuff that's coming out for the Kinect. It won't be much. It'll be 10 minutes. They'll leave it at that. But I think that's going to, in the end, kind of take away from what is, for the most part, going to be a great conference for Microsoft. So that's my bold prediction.
Alrighty. Alright, guys. We have one more thing to go through before we wrap up the show. And that is the schedule for E3. Now, we're not going to go through the whole schedule.
No.
Shank's going to give a brief overview. But the big thing we're going to discuss in this is the unannounced titles coming out. And there's a ton of them.
Oh, my God.
There's a ton of them. So we're going to discuss the unannounced titles per day, starting with Monday, June 9th. Shank, if you could.
Absolutely. So June 9th, remember, that June 9th is the day that you're going to see Sony, Nintendo, and Microsoft's either live stream in Nintendo's case or the press conferences in Microsoft and Sony. Now, it is something interesting. At 2:30, and these are all Pacific times, by the way, so 2:30 p.m., Bethesda has an unbite. If you're wondering where I'm getting this from, I'm getting this from the escapistmagazine.com. They have an article called Twitch Schedules E3 Broadcasts Includes Many Unannounced Titles. First title, unannounced title, Monday, June 9th, 2:30 p.m. Pacific. Bethesda has an unannounced title. Now, we know it's not Battlecry because that was announced. I know, Brian, you had a question about that one. It's not going to be Battlecry because that was announced, and I believe they had a trailer for that. Correct me if I'm wrong. And we know it's not Evil Within. Wolfenstein's already been done.
Mm-hmm.
What can it be? My guess, and I'm pretty sure everyone's guess in the world.
I know what you're thinking.
It's going to be Wolfenstein 4.
You can leave. Everyone's thinking it's going to be Fallout.
Yes.
Now, they've gotten really defensive lately.
Yep.
On Twitter. Whenever someone mentions Fallout, it's gotten really defensive. It could mean that it's something completely different.
Like a new IP.
Like a new IP. Or that it is Fallout.
Yes.
Because that's how Bethesda does it. When it's something completely off the wall, they get mad. But when it's spot on, they get mad.
I think the defensiveness, Part of it might just be them genuinely getting annoyed that people keep asking them. But maybe they're doing it as, you know, on purpose to say, oh, you know, no, it's nothing, it's nothing. Boom, Fallout.
Yeah, see, I think you're partially right, but I think there's a big part of this that that we're overlooking that I know you and I probably won't like, Shank. I don't know about okay. you, Dave, but I think it's going to be Fallout Online.
I don't think they can do that.
They did it with Elder Scrolls.
Well, right, but Elder Scrolls is a world that they created. Fallout is supposed to be set in historical places. I don't think that they could do it to a point where it would be realistic enough for people to want to keep up with it. Now, that being said, I would freaking love a Fallout Online.
God, I would hate
but that. But I'm such a huge Fallout fan. Me and my best friend are both huge Fallout fans. I'm such a huge Fallout fan that, okay, first off, if they do release Fallout Online, I'm canceling my ESO subscription. But you heard if it they here, do folks. Release a Fallout Online, I'm probably going to be really standoffish. Because that's something that they can ruin really quickly and really easily for me.
Yes. I agree with you, Brian. Like I don't know. I would hate to see a Fallout Online announcement. Just don't do it. Me neither, man. I mean, that's one of the cool things about Fallout, even though I didn't like it nearly as much as like Oblivion or Skyrim, was that you had the sense that you were so alone in this world. And like
exactly. But there was no one else there. It was nobody. It was wasteland.
It was literally a wasteland, and like it was up to you. You were left to like your own devices, and if you ran into one of those irradiated Yao guys, I mean, you run away or you just load your previous save. That's
conversely, what would be amazing is for a Fallout with online capabilities that allow you to join another player's game.
So like co-op. So like
Online co-op.
Sure.
Where if you know another person, you can join their game, or you can put up a request for other people to randomly join your game. I could see that being reasonable. That would fall in line with Fallout, where people, survivors, look for other survivors. But... I agree completely. I don't see an MMO being viable just by the way the game is.
Well, okay. Tuesday. Holy crap, Tuesday. Deep Silver. They have two announcements of unannounced titles. Deep Silver, they're the publisher that published the Metro games. My opinion, this is a new Metro title, even though I really don't see that that's going to be realistic considering Metro Last Light released just last year. So this one is a toss up. I'm not 100% sure about this one.
Now, Deep Silver are also people who did,
Saints Row.
Well, I'm looking through their games list. Let me sort by date.
Here. Did they do Saints Row?
Yeah. At least the most recent.
Yeah, they did. They did Saint Rose 4. Again, too early to put that out. Dead Island. They did Dead Island, but honestly, that really needs to die.
Yeah.
They helped Atlas with Catherine, which I could see them helping Atlas and doing it kind of a Deep Silver Atlas kind of thing, bringing in another RPG. I'm going through their games that they've done, and really nothing stands out. Sacred, I don't see them ever putting out another Sacred, Stalker, or what is it, Risen game. I don't see them doing another one of those.
Okay. Brian, any thoughts?
So they're going to come out on stage and they're going to say, we don't have any new games. Thank you. Yeah, I honestly could see it being another Saints Row game. I mean, look at all these games these days that are getting made into annualized things. I mean, I could kind of see that happening with Saints Row here. So that'd be my guess. That'd be my
Saints
guess.
Saints Row's 2013 is when it came out.
Right. I mean, I'm not saying it's going to come out, you know, this month, but it may say, you know, look what we have coming out, you know, next summer, you know, summer 2015. So
yeah. Well, yeah, but Saints Row, Metro Last Light, and Dead Island Riptide all released last year, 2013.
Yeah.
They released Sacred 3 this year.
So they're capable of putting out a lot of crap within a short amount of time.
Right. They are capable of putting out a lot of crap, you know, at the same time. But the question is, well, they also, they co-publish as well a lot. They've worked with things like Ubisoft, as I said, Atlas, hell, even Namco. So I could see Deep Silver not per se releasing its own game, but helping someone else and co-producing or co-publishing a new title, a new IP, or even someone else's game.
All right. Then later in the day at 11 a.m., you have Ubisoft with an unannounced title. Now, my always guess would be Assassin's Creed, but Assassin's Creed Unity was announced. So my guess instead is, because remember, Assassin's Creed Unity is for the current gen and the PC. There have been rumors going around that they're going to have two Assassin's Creed games this year, one for current gen and PC, one for last generation, which is 360 and PS3. I would assume, and this is a hugely conservative guess, is that this is a last generation version of Assassin's Creed. I would hope it's a new IP, though.
No, I don't know, dude. You don't want to see a new Far Cry?
Far Cry's already announced.
Yeah. Oh, it is?
Mm-hmm. Far Cry 4, November 18th,
oh,
Brian.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Just last week, I think it came out, so.
Yeah.
I think there's a good chance. I don't think it's been officially killed, but I think – I know this says unannounced, but this is one of those games that kind of been, you know, taken off the radar. People maybe think it's dead. How about that that Rainbow Six Patriots game that's just kind of sitting
out
there?
Oh, my God. I would love a new Rainbow Six.
Yeah, you know what? I think there's a good chance.
I've never really played Rainbow Six, but if they have a good engine behind it, yeah, why the hell not? I'll play a shoot 'em up if it looks good. That's fine with me.
These games are great. I love Rainbow Six games.
They also have Prince of Persia.
You know what? Can you, dude? Okay, just stick with me here. What if they did a first person Prince of Persia?
I would hate it and never play it.
Well, all right.
Speaking of first person, Splinter Cell.
Splinter Cell's not in first person, dude.
They could make a first person Splinter Cell,
but they had a Splinter Cell last year in August.
Oh, they did?
Yep. Blacklist.
Oh, I didn't even see that come out.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, then I guess there's only one other thing it could be from Ubisoft, and it's the end-all, be-all of video games.
Rayman Legends.
No, never. You can leave. The one game that they could walk on the stage and be like, here's the game, drop the mic, and just walk off, is the next iteration of Myst.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Dude, if they just showed, like, nobody was on stage and all they did was just show the icon, like, on the projector and just ended their conference with that.
The whole crowd would be like, ah! I'd throw
literally, like,
at
that
the screen.
That theater would literally blow up. It's almost as big as Half-Life 3. Just saying.
Oh, God.
Okay, so moving on, 12:20 and 12:40 on Tuesday, we've got two Microsoft Studios announcements, unannounced titles. Microsoft Studios, of course, we've got, you know, they published games such as Forza, huge title. I'm not 100% sure if they published, no, like Fable. Fable is another example, which is actually my guess. Fable.
Well, they have that one Fable coming out, that horrible.
Oh crap!
Fable.
I forgot about that, dude. Yeah, no. You're right.
But that would be like my dream, is a new Fable game coming out. I would buy an Xbox.
I would like them to reboot that whole series, start fresh.
Yes, sure. Don't make it all gimmicky. I think, you know what, because I really do think that these are going to be new IPs. I'm not going to lie. Like, we're seeing a lot of Microsoft and Nintendo like repeating down here. I really and
Microsoft
Sony
has something nearly every day.
Yeah, and actually even Sony's down here too. I honestly think that these, you know, the big three, Microsoft, Nintendo, and Sony, all these unannounced titles, I really think that they're going to be new IPs.
Now, is there a chance that Microsoft could release like a PC-only game during this kind of thing,
nope.
or do they stick
nope.
only to consoles?
There's no way. There's no way.
No, they'll never.
They haven't shown PC love since Halo 2.
Yeah,
just because I think they still own the rights to like the Age of Mythology or Age of Empires series, and they were releasing that Redux or whatever on Steam just recently. So I thought maybe there's something that works there since that just came out. But I mean,
well, there's a lot of games that they could do this. Now, when they say Microsoft Studios, there's a lot of studios that are included in Microsoft Studios. It's not one studio where people come into work. It's a bunch of studios that they've purchased out, and there's a lot of games that I would love to see brought back from the studios under the Microsoft Studios tag.
Okay, I had a theory, but I'm going to... DDI, you want to finish your thought?
Well, no, I was going to name off a bunch of games that I'd like to see, so go ahead.
Okay, they purchased Black Tusk recently, remember?
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you we're going to see a new Gears somewhere here.
Mm. I bet we will see Gears for Xbox One Gears. I could see that.
Dude, that'd be ridiculous. Gears 2 was awesome. Yeah, Gears 3.
Wouldn't that mean they would have had to have... I mean, didn't they just start working on the game when that deal was made?
Yeah, like February. So, they literally... I don't know if
they would have stick figures.
Yeah, they're probably like in the prototyping, like, what is this game about stage. Right. But even still...
They could put up a logo. I mean, like
they could put up
last year.
Like a really like teaser logo, like something, just something, some tease of Gears, even though the game's like nowhere near finished.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would go a long way to whet people's appetites for a new Gears title.
That Halo trailer last year was nothing special. That was just some dude in a cloak walking around.
Literally Master Chief in a poncho.
Yeah, so they could do anything. Why don't you say, hey, it's coming, you know, look forward. 2016 or something, and that'd be enough to get people excited.
Yeah,
so
they could make people excited with that. A few games that the IPs that I would love to see brought back. I'm actually just going to go straight down the list of ones that really need to come back. Now, you know, they purchased out Rare.
Yep.
So they have things like Banjo-Kazooie that they could bring back and just get a ton of love for. They have Jet Force Gemini. They have all these games that are awesome Rare games. Perfect Dark.
Yes. Like an actually good Perfect Dark.
Perfect Dark that they could bring back and just make beautifully. But there's a lot of other games that were just gods of their time that a lot of people never really played because the original Xbox didn't... Nobody really bought the original Xbox. And those who bought the original Xbox bought it for Halo.
That's what I did.
Right. But there were a lot of games on the Xbox that really need love. That I would do, honestly, if they bring out a PS4 version of some of these games, I'm selling everything I have to get a PS4. If they came out with a brand new Phantom Dust, I'd sell blood. I'd sell a kidney to get a new PS4. Or a PS4. Xbox One. If they put out a new Phantom Dust. Same thing with Lost Odyssey. If they came out with Lost Odyssey 2. Shadowrun. If they brought out a new Shadowrun. There's a ton of really great games. But now, this is another person. Oh, Blue Dragon. They put out a new one of those. Anyway. This is another game studio. It's not a studio. It's a collection of studios. That could throw out a bunch of high-name IPs and do great, but they have IPs in their collection that they have not touched in years and years and years that they could just whip out and everybody would be like, what? Stay with me on this one. You ready? Are you ready? Guys, are you ready?
What?
Huh?
Battletoads.
Okay, so anyway... There's a lot of these studios. We talked, and I'm not going to go through every single day on these because you're seeing Nintendo, Sony, and Microsoft repeating a lot here, actually. And I think we kind of discussed them earlier. Like, awesome, like great first party titles. Please put them on. Even like, you know, Dave was mentioning remakes. I think I honestly do believe that a lot of these are going to be new IPs, but I want to call attention to one thing specifically here before we slowly start winding it down. Is, and it's right here. Of course, you can't see it, listeners, but it's Wednesday, June 11th, okay? At 1 p.m. Eastern Time, EA, unannounced title. I will bet you anything. I will bet you, dare I say, my PC, that that's Mass Effect.
Yeah. Jesus, I thought that was dead.
Nope. I must be one of three people who actually liked the ending of Mass Effect 3.
Who cares? How'd you get to the ending?
Oh, dude, I loved it. You don't even
that means you had to play the game.
Oh, dude, you don't even understand how many
hours. Who the hell plays a dating sim?
Okay, so grossly oversimplified comment aside.
That's not grossly simplified at all. That game was horrific.
It was awesome.
Okay, that game's bad and you should feel bad.
It was amazing and you should feel bad for saying it's bad. So I think it's a Mass Effect. Because remember last year we already got the Mirror's Edge and Battlefront tease, which just like, yay. I mean, that was insane. I think this is going to be a Mass Effect title. I think this is only going to be a tease because they're all solely focused with BioWare on getting Dragon Age out this fall, which just go buy that game. Brian, what do you think?
Yeah, I have a question. When did this list post? Like, how current is it?
I just saw this on The Escapist today, actually.
All right. This
morning. It says June 2nd, 2014 is this list.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to say, you know, maybe it's that new Battlefield game. But since that was released last or leaked away last
Hardline?
Week. Can't be that. Yeah, Hardline. It probably wouldn't be that. So, boy, I don't know then. I mean, Mass Effect makes as much sense as anything else because that's been rumored or talked about for a while now.
Yeah.
I could see that being the case.
What? They did Dragon Age.
Dragon Age, it's already coming out, like October 8th or 7th or something.
So make another one, but don't put out another Mass Effect.
Here's
Maybe
Dragon
they're
Age.
They're getting rid of Madden, and it's going to be like John Gruden football. That could be
wow.
You know what it's going to be? EA is going to be like, hey, we renewed all of our ability to show team names in all of our sports games.
NCAA basketball. Yes, there it is. That's what I want.
Okay, so anyway, the point is that there's a lot of unannounced titles.
I'm not even huge. That's what I want.
Yeah, I mean, there's
okay. I don't know why we're even looking at the big names. Honestly, the things that are going to kick the feet out from under you are like, we have Wednesday, Crytek is coming on.
Crytek? I was just about to talk about Crytek.
Oh my god.
And,
right?
Okay, I don't care what anybody says, okay? Crytek, you cannot get better looking games in the world than Crytek.
Their entire purpose is to make the games look good.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, it's just, I don't care. Anything with Crytek immediately has my attention. This is an unannounced title. Not sure if this is a new IP. I highly doubt it's another Crysis game because if you played Crysis 3, that kind of has a pretty definitive ending.
I'd like to see a fresh IP from Crytek where they try to put a game together, not focusing on the art aspect, but using all their assets and all their craziness that they have from Crysis.
That's an older version of the engine, though.
Oh, whatever. The new CryEngine.
Okay, okay. So you just want, like, crazy, insane tech in this whatever new game it is.
Right, but done by them. So it has all the crazy graphics, but that's beside the point. That's what I expect from Crytek, you know? Like, we're top of the line in graphics, but I want them to come out and be like, oh yeah, we have that. Oh, but here's what we can actually do.
So, okay, you know, I see what you're saying. So, like, I think, but see, here's the thing. We don't know if this is like the actual like Crytek as in the Crysis guys, or if this is because Crytek has a bunch of studios.
Mm-hmm.
I know they have a UK one. They have a few ones in California, I think. So I don't know which Crytek studio this is. I hope this is the actual like main Germany Crytek. Because please, dear God, that would be amazing. I would love that game. Whatever it is, I would play it. It could literally be stuck in a locked room simulator, and I would play it.
Stuck in a locked room simulator.
Yes, a.k.a. Dave's Life. in my basement. Anyway, okay.
I can play that.
Yeah, see, there you go. I got Brian to play that. So we got Crytek. I think that's it, man. I mean, this list is huge, guys. Really, if you want to take a look at it, please do. It's actually, I would bookmark this list in your browser just because for next week you have a good reference. It's on the Escapist magazine. It's basically Twitch's schedule for when they're going to be streaming stuff.
All right. Real quick, before we move on out of this section, I want y'all to pick one of the unannounced titles from one of the workshops or studios that we have shown here. And I want you to come up with a bold prediction. 5% chance or less of actually happening. But still, I want a bold prediction.
Okay, I got a very, very bold prediction.
Okay, go for it.
That Bethesda announcement, Elder Scrolls 6.
Yeah, good luck.
Oh, man.
I'm just going to drop my mic now.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. But I think, and I don't know if it's would be considered an unannounced title, but I really do think Ubisoft might be showing us Rainbow Six again this year. I have a feeling it's coming back, and I think that might be the slot they do it in. And I would love to see that. I just don't know if that qualifies as an unannounced title, but maybe that's what makes it bold. I don't know.
That would be pretty cool, though.
Yeah. I would love that.
To round it out, I think Paperboy is going to come out for Nintendo.
Wow.
They're going to remake Paperboy. It's going to be a hack and slash. where down. you actually have to ride your bike through the gates of hell and attack enemies. Wow. With a newspaper.
So you have to ride through my town. Okay. All right. So
that's what I think Nintendo's going to release. And so help me if that actually happens. I'm never doing another Totally Heroes.
So, okay, well, we're going to nicely move on to the question of the week, and it's actually slightly different this week, because we just spent the entire show giving our predictions and thoughts and analysis on what we expect to happen, what we think is going to happen, what we would really, you know, really like to happen at E3 next year. So, to you listeners out there, and if this is on YouTube, you viewers out there, what do you want to see from E3 next week? You can comment in the YouTube video, or if you're listening on the podcast, tweet us, Totally Heroes, or send us an email at questgamingcommunity@gmail.com, and we would love to read your responses. But again, what do you, our fans and listeners, expect to see at E3, and what do you want out of it? So, that being said, hey, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
Plastic contains some incredibly great minerals and gypsum.
Just like the amazing untangleable cords on Tweaked Audio earbuds.
Ruined it.
From tweakedaudio.com.
Totally ruined it.
Quality earbuds, free worldwide shipping, unbeatable customer service, impeccable segues,
I quit.
Lifetime warranty, and with our code Off the Record, all one word at checkout, you get 30% off of your order, all at tweakedaudio.com. That's tweakedaudio.com. Now, Brian!
Yeah, Dave, what do you need?
Nothing, I'm good.
Damn it!
If you could, take us out.
He set you up.
How to reach us.
All right, guys. By now, you know how to find us. But you can follow our show on Twitter at Totally Heroes. You can follow Dave at Dienforce. That's DienForce. You can follow Shank at Shank the Tank. ShankTHTANK. You can follow myself at SilentFury007. You can email the show at questgamingcommunity@gmail.com. Find us on our forums, or on our forum, I suppose, questgamingcommunity.com. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/questgamingnetwork, google.com/+/questgamingnetwork, and that's all the great places you can find us. Check us out. Guys, anything that the listeners, viewers, need to know about that you're working on for the network? Anything exciting going on you want to share?
Friendly reminder, new Shank Spiel this Thursday. It's going to be a good one. No one next Thursday because I'm not here. I'm going to be at a wedding, but that's my plug. Dave, anything?
I have been so busy with real life. I haven't had a chance to do much for the network at all.
Loser. Brian?
I feel like I'm letting people down, man. Come on.
No, I'm working on a couple things. Nothing that's out there yet. But stay tuned if you like my work. You three will be excited. So
yeah, both of them will have a great time.
Yeah, well, maybe just the one person. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom!
All right. You can check up on the latest and greatest gaming news and how to join our awesome baller community starting at questgamingnetwork.com. You can stay connected to all the news, opinions, whatever, from Xbox, PlayStation, Elder Scrolls, anything cool that's happening in the industry. As well, you can also donate to our shows. $10 gets you a special mention. And just, you know, if you just kindly mention which show that you would like to be shouted out on, we will happily do it for you. It's a great way to get your name out there, and it's just another way that we can guarantee to keep bringing you some awesome stuff. We have some other shows and events that take place on our network. For starters, we have Rift with Reforged. This is the Guild Reforged. This is live on Sunday mornings on Twitch, which will later be available on YouTube. You want to stay tuned to our Quest Gaming Twitter, so that's just at Quest Gaming. Stay tuned to that for any updates on that. SWTOR Reforged, Monday night, 7 p.m. Eastern. That's right before Totally Heroes. So Monday nights, you get SWTOR, and then you get us. Elder Scrolls Off the Record, Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern time, and then Fridays. Classic Elder Scrolls Night, Fridays at 9 p.m. Eastern time. And, of course, you can hear all the different ways to hear about us and contact us on our sidebar on our website, including the Stitcher Radio app, which you can get on your mobile device, and iTunes. And finally, you can check out our gaming videos, how-to guides, and recorded Twitch streams at youtube.com/QuestGamingNetwork. And watch for our streams, you guys. We have a schedule up somewhat. You can check it out on our Twitch channel at twitch.tv/QuestGamingNetwork.
All right, guys. Thank you, everybody, for putting this all together. It's been a great show. Thank you, Shank.
You
Thank
are
you, Brian, for the welcome. For the expert commentary. I appreciate you so much more than Shank.
Well, naturally.
No, I love you both.
In you can only have one.
Don't judge. All right. Totally Heroes is a Quest Gaming Network production. My name's Dave D'Enforce Adams. Have a great one, everybody.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you next time.
We did it, you guys. We're totally heroes.
Dude, that was totally awesome. That was great.
I can't believe it's all over. What do we do now?
What do you mean? Now we can finally play the game. Let's fight!
hang wild.